And we are live.
We want a gold, sucker!
Well, I guess it would help if I put the mic on. Technical difficulties, but that's okay. It's your boy, Sage the Mark. It's Real Wrestling Podcast. Coming to you guys live on a Thursday, as normal, as usual, as usual. You know, we got a lot to talk about today. Before I dive into that, make sure you guys go on to our YouTube channel. Search for us. It's Real Wrestling Podcast, all spelled out. If you're on the Instagram, Instagram.com/ It's Real Wrestling Podcast, all spelled out. We got Twitter, at Real WrestleCast on Twitter. And if you can't remember all that stuff, just make sure that you go to irwp.us because all of that's there. But with that being said, guys, man, what a week in wrestling. And you know what? I wouldn't do this any justice at all, like at all, if I didn't have any help. And I am pleased, pleased, pleased and honored that we have a community member and a fellow podcaster from SmackDown Podcasting. We've got, let me introduce him. I'm going to let him introduce himself, because if I do it, I'm going to probably slaughter it, even though I promised him that I wasn't going to slaughter it. But, you know, that's what happens sometimes. Go ahead and introduce yourself, my friend.
So, hey, guys. My name is João Basílio. I am a Portuguese YouTuber. I can't really call myself a YouTuber. It's weird. Because I have a small little channel called SmackDown. It started as a project where it was just me talking to a camera. And 8 years later, it's the biggest channel dedicated to pro wrestling in Portugal. It has several people collaborating on it. And we do live streams and we do video analysis and all sorts of stuff. And we're present in pretty much every aspect of the Portuguese professional wrestling scene. And yeah. It's pretty cool. So if you know Portuguese, it's completely in Portuguese. And, you know, if you want to check out what Portuguese fans think about pro wrestling, because there's still a few of us. We're a small community, but there's a few of us. Come check. Yeah.
Got to start somewhere, right? All right, my friend. Well, you know, before we get in, I know it's going to get heated and we're going to talk about some things. Before we get into the wrestling, for me, I always like when I interview or have guests on my show, I like to kind of understand like what got them into wrestling, because I think it's important to understand like how you got into this passionate world that we call professional wrestling or professional entertainment wrestling, or sports entertainment, or whatever kind of moniker you want to use. But how did you get into wrestling?
18 or 12 years old, and I was watching TV on my room, and then I came across Raw. It was like it was on a cable channel that we have over here, and it was like, what is this? I've never seen anything like this. And I still remember that the first match that I watched in full was the famous Iron Man match, 1 hour Iron Man match on Raw between Triple H and Chris Benoit for the World Heavyweight Championship. That was my first glimpse into the world of pro wrestling. And it was a great match. And then that got me wondering, because I had no internet access at the time. So I was like, what is this? Oh, of course, like, I asked my parents, the first thing that came out of their mouth was, oh, yeah, pro, that's fake. And I was like, yeah, all right. I know I'm a little kid. I don't believe in Santa anymore. So I can, come on, give me some credit. But, like, this is interesting. These characters, they're larger than life. They're pretty awesome. So, like, I wanted to know more about this. And so I kept watching on TV. And we don't, like I said, I didn't have internet, so my access to it was pretty limited. I got a friend that got me WrestleMania 21 on a USB stick, mm-hmm. and I kept it on my computer, and like I must have watched it like 20 times because it was the only thing I could do, except by watching on television. Mm-hmm. It was an awesome WrestleMania, to be honest. And I remember at a time, like I was 13, I guess, and when I turned on my computer, I set it up so it would play John Cena's theme. So like I was a big Cena mark, but I was 13 years old. So I mean, come on. Then I got a bit disconnected because you know, life and teenage dramas get in the way of things, and I sort of left it by the side, and I was like,
"So what year? Actually, what year would you be talking about when you kind of?" When you kind of disconnected, because I think we all go through that period of time, and especially from the early age of wrestling to like towards our middle age, maybe teenage age kind of thing. Yeah. What point in time do you recall that you?
2008.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah.
Kind of then tail end actually, of the Attitude Era. I think that was right. The tail end.
The 2008.
Yeah.
Ruthless Aggression Era.
There you go. Yep.
And then I still remember this because it's really funny. It's what got me into making YouTube videos and what got me into wrestling again. I broke up with my girl at the time, and I was like, what do I do now? I mean, and I stumbled upon a Portuguese news website, mm-hmm. wrestling news, and I was like, I was reading an article. I was like, this dude doesn't know what he's talking about. It's so blatant. What the hell? And I never do this because I'm not really big into commenting. Mm-hmm. But I commented, and the guy came back with, well, if you can do better, do it. And I was like, yeah, I will. So
challenge accepted.
Like, and I did. And I started writing articles for that website. And then they said, oh, we have a podcast. I'll be on the podcast. And 2 months later, I was organizing the podcast, mm-hmm. and I was doing live streams. And then the day came where I was like, I should do a video. I want to talk about something. And no one's talking about this. There's no videos. There's no articles about Portuguese pro wrestling. That shows were happening, very small, like 30, 40 people shows. But no one's talking about this. And I want to talk about this because they were releasing the shows online. So like we could watch. I was like, no one's talking about this. I want to talk about this. I want to give my opinion. Maybe that'll get some people commenting, mm-hmm. and like we can talk about this. So around 8.5 years ago, I did my first video, and it was about a Portuguese wrestling show. And since then, it's been almost a part-time job, like watching wrestling. Ever since that first video, I've never missed a video. I started doing 3 videos a week, and mm-hmm. then I established my weekly schedule. It's like 1 video a week and a stream. And I was like, I've never stopped since. And I've never stopped watching wrestling since as well. So it's been a part-time job of sorts, and it's brought me a lot of things.
You're just passionate, man. You're just passionate.
Yeah. And it gets things into your life. Like I can say that I got some girls because of my YouTube channel.
Nice.
it's not something everyone can say.
Yeah, just make sure you don't let that power go to your head, man. All right, that's how you get in trouble.
True. I've gotten a lot of friends, made a few enemies too. It happens. It's the internet. I got another part-time job that I learned by myself, which was poster making. I mean, mm-hmm. I do posters for a lot of companies like in the US, Canada, UK, some in Portugal. I got involved in wrestling at the moment because I'm part of a Portuguese wrestling company, and I help organize shows. I'm a heel manager of a stable.
Okay.
So I have my fingers in a lot of pies at the moment. So it's pretty cool. And that whole thing started because my girl broke up with me. So
you got to take that life experience and you got to put it into something productive, like put it in the ring. There you go, man. I feel you, man. I see that, man. So let me ask, going into the little promotion thing that you're doing, like aside from the, you know, the relationship aspect, what kind of things do you think that helps you like keep that passion and use that into like a character or of sorts, or, you know what I'm saying?
That's really easy because, I don't want to really get into the whole storyline aspect and like, but, I started as a ring announcer because this is literally what happened. I went down south, it was in the south of Portugal, for a show to watch. And I was meeting with some friends who were the wrestlers on the show and the people organizing. And they were like, oh, yeah, we got this guy doing the ring announcing, but he's not really a fan of it. And I was like, dude, I host a wrestling podcast every week. How hard can it be to host a show? So I was like, I'll do it. If you need me to, I'll do it. And it was like, hell yeah, you can do it. I've seen you do it on the internet. You can totally do it. So I started as a ring announcer. And then there was a necessity for like an authority figure. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll do it. I can do it. I'm hosting the shows. It's pretty natural. It's a natural fit to have me also as like a GM, because, well, I'm already there with a microphone in my hand. I can do a ruling on the spot. Super easy. And then came the necessity to create a heel stable. And I was like, all right, so you got the champ. You got the top heel. He says he has everything going for him. He has all the victories. He deserves a title shot. And the company won't give it to him. That's cool. Then you got another guy who has his cousin, and they're in a tag team. But he keeps losing matches while his cousin keeps winning and became the champion. So he's like, what do I have to do? And then there's me, who's the guy that did this for 8 years doing videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was always like the guy who came to the show and like, oh, here comes João. He's really cool. Have you paid the ticket yet? Great, dude. Everyone was really nice to me. Mm-hmm. But like everyone was like, oh, he's the YouTube kid. Like, yeah, be nice to him so he says good stuff about you on his podcast.
Yeah, they're trying to get over, man.
Exactly. Well, I had that motivation. So when I did my heel turn, which was like we set up the title match and I pulled the ref out, and then the champ was like, what the hell, what's happening? And then his cousin came out to help, and holy shit, he turns on him as well. So it was like a big moment. And I have my claim to fame is that I made the three count that changed the championship.
Nice.
In this promotion. One of my big dreams was to become a referee, actually. And I hope it's something I can still do in the future. So I can say I made the three count that changed wrestling history in Portugal. So, kind of.
it's always the little things, man. It's always the little things that make it bigger in the end, man. And when you do make that transition to a referee, let me know, because I got tons of questions, you know, about the role of a referee, and how, you know, they pace things around. And I want to get it from like someone who's actually done the job. So you have to promise me that when you become that referee, when you achieve that goal, that boyhood dream with a tear in your eye, you're going to come back on the show and you're going to report that to us.
The interesting thing is, over here, we have some really great referees and we have a really shitty one. So I know from experience what I should do and definitely what I shouldn't do.
Gotcha.
So, and watching a lot of wrestling, like you sort of pick up things, and you gotta watch the referees in the match. Like sometimes some matches are like a little more boring and you start focusing on other things. Some people look at the crowd. Some people start looking at the ring for some reason. I always look at the referees because they're an integral part of the match.
Right. They pace the match for the wrestlers.
Exactly.
It's kind of hard to really, like, from the outside looking in, from a television perspective, it's kind of really difficult because of the way that the production cuts away from the referee. So that's kind of interesting that you would, you know, that's one of your dreams and goals is to be a referee, considering that you don't really see a lot of them. Now, when you're there live, it's different. Like they're up in your face. You get to see everything. But just looking in from a TV perspective, I think that's pretty interesting that's what you want to do.
And I mean, WWE has some great referees, but like my major inspirations are like indie referees, like mm-hmm. Bryce Remsburg, most recently, what's her name from AEW? They call her Girl Hebner.
Girl Hebner.
It's Aubrey. I can't remember her name, but she's also really good. And who else? There was another ref.
Aubrey Edwards.
Aubrey Edwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's phenomenal. And Rick Knox from PWG, yep. Now AEW as well. Phenomenal refs. They're like, they can be the focus of their spot because they can have spots in the match because they know what they can do. Like Bryce is an amazing comedic referee.
Mm-hmm.
So they can have their spot, but at the same time, they can fade into the background and give the superstars their spot to
shine. Yeah, their shine.
So you got to find that middle point between being a part of the match, but not being too noticeable, not stealing the thunder from the wrestler.
Right.
So those guys can do that. Like, if you need them to do a comedic spot, they'll do it. If you need them just to be refs and like to be the three count that we hear, but don't really look at, like we look at the shoulders, we look at the wrestlers, we don't really care about the ref except for that, for the noise of the 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Like, that's perfect. That's what we need in a match. So that's one of the things like that interests me in being a referee, because they are important, but they're like sort of invisible. So it's interesting. It's part of what makes wrestling great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that go into making a show, and that's often overlooked by fans, mm-hmm. but I've always had a lot of interest in it.
The smallest details are always overlooked by the fans. So I have never dismissed the importance of a referee. My favorite referee of all time is Nick Patrick. And he gets a lot of crap, but I mean he's integral in a lot of, just like Hebner, man. He was integral in a lot of important aspects, and the flows of his matches were just like amazing as well. So that's like kudos to him. The unsung hero is the referees for sure. So switching gears just a little bit, I do want to, just for the record, who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
CM Punk.
CM Punk.
I have to say CM Punk.
Okay.
All time.
I can respect that. The follow-up question, the obvious follow-up question is, you think that he will ever wrestle again for a professional, like for a big-time organization?
See, for the last, since he retired, I've been telling everyone, like, leave the dude alone. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to see him come back. I look at wrestlers not just as wrestlers, but as people, because they are people, but a lot of fans forget that sometimes. They're like, oh, they're here for our entertainment. No, they're people.
Yeah.
So treat them like people.
Yep.
Like, I want the dude to be happy, so I want him to do what he wants. I'm not a big MMA guy, but if he's into MMA, if he wants to do MMA, if he wants to commentate, like, sure, do your thing. I'm a fan. I'm as much a fan of CM Punk as I am a fan of Phil Brooks. So let him do his thing. But recently, with All Out coming at the end of the month, and he's announced for StarCast. He, like, come on, he hasn't done anything really substantial since he got out of WWE and had those MMA matches on UFC. I'm like, this is too perfect. Now I'm buying into it. Now I'm like,
the stars are aligning, huh? You got the stars, they're aligning.
And I know I'm setting myself up for disappointment.
It's in Chicago.
I mean, everyone was saying that for last year for All In.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way. No chance.
Well, I mean, this year. And the funny part about it is that they had released that footage of him as at an indie organization, masked,
yeah,
and you know, doing a couple of wrestling moves and stuff like that. So I don't think that you're beyond like crazy to think that he won't come, but I completely agree with you, man. Like I'm CM Punk is arguably one of my favorite wrestlers as well, and I've always been in the camp with him that if the dude wants to come back to wrestling, he'll come back to wrestling. In the meantime, just let him do his thing, man. There's life after wrestling, and you just got to let them do their thing. We, like, they're not our servants, right? They're not monkeys dancing monkeys, and I agree. Sometimes fans get so enthralled and passionate about the character itself that they forget to look at the person behind the character. So I completely agree with you on that, man. But that's good, man. That's good. So, now that we got the formalities out of the way, my friend, it's time to get down to business. What we're here to talk about. It has been a crazy, crazy, crazy 4 days of professional wrestling. Now, I do want to save some time for the G1 at the very end because I'm not a G1 guy myself, but I did catch some of the clips. So if you want to talk about that, we could talk about that at the end. But let's get into it, man. Let's start with NXT, man. Overall, what were your expectations going into NXT, and did it meet your expectations at the end?
Takeovers always deliver. It's a constant in the NXT product. They always deliver at Takeover, and I haven't seen a Takeover that I didn't enjoy. But this particular Takeover, I felt it was a lot of like a maintenance show.
Yeah,
they just it was just like, let's take care of this, let's put on a good show, but like it had no real significance. Like if you showed this over 3 weeks of TV, it would have been the same thing. Like you could have put on some good matches and things, but it would have been the same because there was nothing really consequential coming out of this. Yeah, Io Shirai defeated Candice LeRae, and it was a great way to really present Io as a future top heel. That's great, but like the North American Championship three-way was good, but no title change. Women's title, as expected, no title change. Main event, no title change. Tag titles, no title change. Good matches, but nothing really consequential. And I'm not the type of guy that needs to see a title change every show. But at this point, I was expecting something to change. And it just didn't happen.
Yeah, so I guess I kind of take it. Like, I see your point from that aspect of it. Going into it, this is probably the first Takeover that I hadn't watched the previous 4 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks of live TV tapings. And one of the things that I love to give kudos to the NXT crew is that it's sad, but you don't actually need to watch any of their weekly matches to get into the storyline. They do a great job. And one of the highlights is that they put together a great package for each particular match to kind of tell you exactly where, you know, what the story is, what to expect, and kind of go in there from there. So, you know, overall, I liked the presentation. I agree that it wasn't probably one of the better takeovers, and it wasn't so much that there was a lack of surprises here and there. It was just so much as that it was just more of a, hey, these are our guys. We're showcasing different people. Like, I think that's what it was. It was more of a coming out show for a lot of different people. So, like, for instance, the tag team champions, we actually saw a lot more showcasing from Dawkins than we did from any of the other ones. Like, we don't really see Dawkins have a strong showing on any pay-per-view whatsoever, or even on the live show. It's usually Montez Ford that's kind of showcased. So I thought that was great. Io Shirai. Don't even get me started on Io Shirai. And this is actually my first time actually seeing a full Candice LeRae match. And I have to say, Candice LeRae is amazing. Like, I understand why people are so high on her. And I only heard about, like, I've seen Io Shirai matches, but I've never seen her heel. And everyone who's told me, you know, about Io Shirai is like, go see her heel work in New Japan, or go see her heel work at some other. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to save this for Takedown, or for SmackDown, or SmackDown. I'm going to save this for Takeover, and let me see it from a fresh set of eyes and see what people are talking about. And by God, she's probably the best, and I think she's probably the best wrestler today. That's just my opinion, man. Like, she...
You're not the only one that thinks that, to be honest.
Her storytelling and the matches, the crispness of her moves, her facial expressions, like, her attitude. Like, this is hard to believe that this was a face 2 months ago, one of the hottest faces 2 months ago, just totally turning things around. Probably, arguably, had the best match of the entire week for professional wrestling. So, I loved it, man. I do question, though, what they're going to do with the North American title, because that match to me was kind of stale. I don't know about you.
Oh, I enjoyed it because, like, Pete Dunne is one of my favorite wrestlers at the moment. So he's phenomenal. And I got to watch him live over here. So it was, like, surreal. And he's so young. He's still so young. And he's younger than me. I'm 27 years old. And what is he? He's
like 23, 24.
Yes. It's scary. He's 25.
25, okay.
But it's scary how good he is at that age.
Yeah.
And his run with the UK Championship was
epic.
Phenomenal. He became that, like...
He made believers. He made believers.
Like, he carried the beginning of the NXT UK brand. Like, completely. And the only guy that could conceivably take over that spot... That position as the really top guy, the foundation of that brand was Walter.
Yeah.
So that was a great choice to be the successor. But some belts, like, you associate with someone, like Flair with the big gold, the NWA World and WCW World Heavyweight Championship, and like Harley Race with the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Right. The UK Championship is Pete's belt.
Yeah.
Like,
do you even remember who the original?
Tyler Bate.
No, I'm just like in general, like you don't remember Tyler Bate as being the champ, the inaugural champ, but you definitely know who Pete Dunne is, man. And I agree, man. Like, that dude needs to be on the main roster, but I say that reluctantly because I don't want him to be on the main roster, just like I don't want Velveteen Dream to be on the main roster for fear of what they will do to them. Even under the new quote unquote regime change, I still worry about them.
I don't think there's a new regime. Vince McMahon's still the boss.
At the end of the day, he still signs the checks.
Until he stops being the boss, there's no new regime.
So just a quick aside. I think that the changing of the guards was inevitable, not because of the AEW thing. I think that this time next year, Vince is going to have his hands full with the XFL as it goes live and in color. So there has to be a natural transition. He's got to kind of take his foot off the gas because no matter what kind of person you are, you cannot juggle 50 million things at one time. 49, yes, but not 50. And I think he's at the point where he's just off the gas and he's going to be enthralled in this XFL. So I think that's a huge factor into why we're seeing changes right now. But I digress, man. What'd you think about the
triple threat?
No, not the triple threat. I was going to transition into the NXT championship, but I did want to get your take on what do we do for Shayna Baszler going forward?
See, because tonight, they taped the next few weeks of NXT TV, and I actually looked at the spoilers. So I don't want to give out any
spoilers, bro.
I've seen what they're going with, and I agree 100%.
Okay.
I'll just say that. And but here's the thing about the NXT Women's Championship match. They built up Mia Yim as a potential threat,
yeah.
But too little, too late. Like, they did the one thing no one else had done before, which was she took out the other two of the four horsewomen of MMA before the match. And that made complete sense. And she was like, yeah, that makes sense. Why hasn't anyone else done that? But, like, if it was, like, Candice LeRae, if it was, like, still face Io Shirai, that would have been so much better. Because Mia did that, and she's, in my view, she still had no chance at winning the match. Like, it was too little, too late. So, and especially because Shane has just been so dominant.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm going into the match, like, I know it's going to be a nice little match. And I know a lot of people that hate watching Shayna Baszler wrestle. Because, I don't know, some people don't really like her style. I do.
Yeah.
I think she's a phenomenal heel and a great wrestler.
I agree.
But I was like, yeah, I know it's going to be fun, but I know what the end result's going to be.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as exciting as it should have been.
Yeah, I agree, man. There's just some, it's weird. Like, I know that her and Mia have history on the indie circuit. I was a little bit more worried about the chemistry in the ring. I didn't feel like it was there. It wasn't quite as bad as her. Well, no, because I think this was probably the worst of her matchups. Because at first I had thought it was going to be Montez Ford's wife, EST, Bianca Belair. Oh. Yeah. You know, at first I had thought, you know, but I thought they had a pretty competitive match leading up to it. But I don't know. I think that, you know, not seeing any of the spoilers or anything with her, I feel like they need to put her in a triple threat match kind of situation, kind of how they did with Asuka. Because to me, I think that's the only way that you're going to really get a competitive match out of her, unless you're going to put her with a Japanese star like Io Shirai or Candice LeRae, who's trained in that area, which I think that that's what they're going to end up doing, is putting her with Candice LeRae, but I don't know.
I'm still convinced the only way Shayna will lose her title is through a multi-woman
like
match.
A triple threat or a fit of four-way.
Or four-way.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, man. I think that's the smart way to play it, is to have her lose the match at a triple threat, unless you bring Kairi Sane out to take her out, which Kairi Sane seems to be the Achilles heel, but I don't know. I digress, man.
No, we have to save Kairi Sane to be on catering, but she's not being on Raw or SmackDown.
Nah, man. They waiting for the only reason why they called her up is they wanted to condition the crowd for her at WrestleMania, so that when they go into Tampa, they got the pirate ships and like that's the only reason why she's even there. Not to say that she doesn't deserve to be there, because she does. Like, she. Her and Oscar are great. I think that once they turn them against each other, it's going to be amazing. But yeah, I mean, Kabuki Warriors is another travesty. We'll talk about that later. So NXT Championship, man, what did you think about that one?
I mean, it's Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
Probably two of the top pro wrestlers in the world today.
Yeah.
So they took something that I wanted to see for so long, which they didn't call it, but this was Three Stages of Hell.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
I thought it was smart that they didn't announce what the third one was. I thought that was pretty awesome.
That was cool, but come on, when as soon as people were starting to get into the building, tweets were coming up. Yeah, there's a cage.
Yeah. That's why you gotta stay off social media, man.
I mean, I didn't I wasn't on Twitter because I don't use Twitter much, but like I was doing my pre-show stream, and I was like, before I even started the stream, one of my hosts was like, yeah, dude, it's gonna be a cage match, and I was like, god damn it, don't spoil me. But I mean, why wasn't it a ladder match for example, because that would have been a lot more, it would have been safer to, it wouldn't be spoiled in any way. It'd be really hard to spoil that.
I think it would have been predictable, though, because, I mean, you see two small guys, you know, you automatically go to Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon kind of thing, and then you're like, ladder match. It's got to be a ladder match. I think with the cage match and then them saying that, hey, the only way that you can win is inside the ring and not outside the ring, I thought that that kind of brought a unique flair to the match itself. But I don't know. It was a good match. Definitely not. It's probably the second match of the show, second to Io Shirai and Candice LeRae, which I think was like the show stealer throughout the entire weekend. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think this is Johnny's call-up, man. I think that we're going to see him next week in the King of the Ring tournament. What do you think? What do you think about that prediction?
Everyone's been announced for the King of the Ring tournament, actually.
I think someone's going to get hurt and injured, and then he's going to end up coming up and taking that spot, man.
All right.
I don't know. Don't sleep on that, man. Again, don't sleep on that.
I won't. I was actually thinking, like, they were going to take Kevin Owens off. Like, Shane was going to take him off to punish him. But apparently, like, he just has to pay a fine.
Yeah.
Like, let's not punish him by taking him out of a potential title opportunity. No, let's just take his money.
$100,000.
Still a lot of money. Again, I saw the spoilers, so I won't say anything. But I'll say this. It wouldn't be the first time that someone was in NXT doing stuff and on the main roster.
And doing something else. So, okay.
Yeah,
I'll take that. Because
Kevin Owens was NXT champion, and he was on the main
roster. Yeah, he was on the main roster. Beat John Cena for the title, U.S. title, man.
Yeah, so both are possible. Yeah. So he can totally be on the tournament.
Dude, next week can't come soon enough, man. I'm so excited. Let's go. SummerSlam. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to start with SummerSlam. What'd you think about this, just in general, SummerSlam? Your expectation versus the actual?
It was a heel-heavy show. Yeah. I was expecting a lot more face wins. But the thing that really got me, like, mad was the main event. Because here's my take on it. And I already talked about it on my channel, but I'll do it again. Rollins was put in a position where he shouldn't have been able to bounce back from. Like, on Raw. Because it was just stupid. Like, he's hurt, and Brock's in top shape. Yeah, let's go attack him. This chair will surely help. I can't swing it, but it will surely help. It was like, it was the dumbest thing. Oh, but he had heart and guts. Yeah, he had no brain, though. But he charged, he stumbled to Brock and got his ass kicked and then cut the shittiest promo that everyone in the arena was like, what? I was like, what's he saying? Oh, he's gonna win. Yeah, right. And then you'll say, oh, that's to create that underdog aura, like to make you believe that, like, he has no chance. Well, no shit. He's across the ring is Brock Lesnar. Everyone that goes against Brock Lesnar is the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Brock Lesnar match. So when he beats Lesnar, I'm like, oh, what for? What was the last few months for? Why give Brock the money in the bank? What? It was just so meaningless. I was like, it felt really stupid.
Yeah, so, I think they only gave them the money in the bank specifically so that he could headline SummerSlam. I honestly, I truly, like, in retrospect, think that that's what it was. I knew in the back of my mind, I knew that he wasn't going to be the champ by October, just because, like, they're going to save him for the SmackDown show on Fox. It makes sense. Yeah. I mean, he was really a SmackDown guy and not a Raw guy during his comeuppance. So it would only make sense that he returns to the very place that made him. So I'm not surprised, man. I I'm not surprised that he lost. I'm surprised that the match went as long as it did, which I give kudos to WWE for at least hearing us. Like, we didn't want Brock as a Universal Champion or hold the belt hostage, which I will also give him a credit for that as well, because since winning the belt, he has actually been on every Raw in some form or capacity for the exception of 1 week, which it's, again, it seems like that they are listening to not our demands but our concerns, more or less. So let me see. I liked the Trish and Charlotte match. I was a little concerned just to, you know, see how they were going to protect Trish, because I know that she's been out of wrestling for quite some time. But I've never been high on Charlotte. I know that everyone thinks that she's like the greatest thing since sliced bread in terms of women wrestling. I don't see it. One of my biggest critiques of Charlotte specifically is that she doesn't have the capacity, or did not have the capacity, to really make her opponent look good in the ring, which is one of my pet peeves of a wrestler, period. She made a believer out of me with Charlotte. She did a phenomenal job of storytelling, putting her over. She did a great job of, like, leading the entire match. Like, Charlotte made a complete believer out of me, in not as the greatest, but just as a, like, one of the top women's wrestlers today. But yeah, so what would you think about the match?
Here's something that you have to take into account when talking about this match. This is Charlotte Flair, and she's an active competitor, sure, but Trish wasn't.
Yep.
She's not anymore. So when was the last time she had a match? It was like on Raw. It was like a tag match with Cena. Yep. It was like years and years ago. So this is like she's not Trish is not coming back. She came to do this match, and like ring rust is a factor.
Yeah.
So you have to believe Charlotte was like in charge of the match.
Oh, hands down. Like,
and she had to carry. Not that Trish is like some new kid that needs to be carried, but like there was a degree of like Charlotte had to lead.
Yeah.
And she led that dance, and the outcome was a great match. Yep. So that really shows that Charlotte is one of the better women's wrestlers on that roster. Like, one of the best,
yep,
for sure. I don't think I'll say there's like another four or five women on that roster that would carry that match like Charlotte did.
Yeah.
And maybe not as good as Charlotte did, but like, I think Asuka could do it.
Oh,
I think
hands down. Becky. Asuka's the best wrestler on that damn roster, man. And people don't give her enough credit for it, man. It's terrible.
True. Becky could do it. Natalya could do it. Who else?
Carmella. Carmella could do it. I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. I just had to see that facial expression. Like, 7 second Jesus. Dance break.
I'm missing someone.
Bailey. Really Bailey's good. She's a good. She's not one.
I'll say
she's
yeah.
good in the ring, man. I think she did a great job. Who was it? She fought somebody in NXT, and she just.
Oh, Sasha.
No, not Sasha. Someone before Sasha. No, I think it was Nia Jax. Yeah, in NXT, Nia Jax.
Oh, yeah.
She did a great job in that match. Like, she made a believer out of me. Nia Jax made an impression on me because of Bayley. So
that was a takeover
match. That was a takeover match, yep.
Yeah,
choked her out. Really choked her out for the win.
That was great. Everyone thought she was going to lose the belt. And, like, that was really good. Smart booking.
Yeah.
But, yeah. There's a really elite group of women on the main roster, and Charlotte's at the top of the food chain for sure. And she was the right choice to have Trish come and do this match. And, like, I never thought Trish was going to win. So, like, I had no doubt in my mind. But having her lose by submission, that got me.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. I wasn't expecting that. But if this is really a one-off.
It's not.
I'm like,
we all know the match that we want to see, and now that a certain somebody is back in his heel, I guarantee by Mania, we'll have that match. I'll just say that.
True, but we'll get to
to that. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about probably what was the highlight of SummerSlam. The Fiend. Yeah, I just want to see if we were on the same page, man. I'm getting you like Goose, man. I gotta treat you like Goose, man. I gotta make sure that we in sync. You know what I'm saying?
Wrestling is made of moments.
That's right.
That was a moment.
Yeah.
More than any other match, this is the thing people were talking about after the show was over.
Still talking about today, man. I mean, they just dropped the single that everybody's been asking for since Sunday, and they did they redid it like three times before they released the master on all the platforms, Spotify, Amazon, iClouds, and everything like that.
There was the controversy. It was because of the headlamp. It was like they released the theme on YouTube, mm-hmm. and they had shots from the headlamp.
Yeah.
And it was like, then they took it down and re-uploaded without it. And it was like, oh no, he's going to stop using it and stuff. And then he wasn't on Raw at all.
Yeah.
So, which is
smart booking. Move. Smart. Well, we'll talk about that. That's definitely smart booking there, man.
But that was one of the most awesome things I've ever seen. And I'm not like into scary stuff or really gory stuff, but that was like, so it made sense as well. It was like, that's not Bray Wyatt at all.
Yeah.
Under the mask. That's the Fiend. So he's something that's inside Bray Wyatt's head. So of course he's carrying Bray Wyatt's head.
Yeah.
So it made total
sense.
And it was, the one thing that I thought it was really weird was the neck snap during the match. There was like, that's a neck snap. That kills people. Don't do that. So like, yeah, don't try this at home and all that, but like, don't even give people the idea that you can use the neck snap in a wrestling.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see that again. But I did like that, man. And Goose wanted me to ask you, because Goose is up here in the chat. Would you be interested in Bray holding his opponent's heads after he defeats them?
Yes, and after he defeats them, like in the Firefly Funhouse. They're there as
well. Oh man, that is good, man. That I like that. I like that book in there. So I'm a very psychological kind of guy. So I dissected this thing from beginning to end, man. And one of the things that I love this whole thing. Like at first, it felt like it was a movie. Like it didn't feel like a wrestling match at all from the moment. Yeah. From the very moment, like it went full screen, Firefly Funhouse, the music started playing, and then like the movie reel just kind of like old school burnt out, and then it went into "Let Me In," and he just comes out during the ring. You see a glimpse of the lamp, and you're like, is it the lamp? And then you find the full reveal is like, oh, it's his head. Like I have just polymorphed into this entity. There's no longer Bray Wyatt in there. And then we get in the ring, in the match. And I something that I noticed that a lot of other podcasters and even wrestlers who have podcasts didn't even pick up is, like, I love the fact that he sociologically, like, has, like, a split in his mind while he wrestles. Like, like he struggles. Like, you see Fiend taking over, and then all of a sudden you see, like, you see Bray, resurgence of Bray Wyatt and like doing the Sister Abigail and doing the kiss, and then almost like getting beaten by, because of that weakness that he had of Bray Wyatt. The Fiend sees Bray Wyatt as a weakness and almost getting pinned and almost losing his match to Finn Balor. And then he just struggles in his head in the mid match, like, heel hurt, like, what am I supposed to do? What am I like, I love that, man. Like those little details right there is just, it's amazing, man. I just Oh, man.
There's so much to unpack, and there's so much you can do with that whole hurt heel dynamic with his hands and his gloves. Like, you can have a sort of face Bray Wyatt on Raw doing Bray Wyatt, the Firefly Funhouse Bray mm-hmm. Wyatt, and he's listening to his heel hand, so he's like, he's helping out people after beatdowns and stuff, and like in matches he's like he's wrestling, but he's like, dude, are you okay? You good? And then you can switch in an instant, and he starts listening to his hurt hand, and he goes vicious, and you can people will be like, how do I feel? Like, I know what I'm watching, but like, and when you, and that's why WWE can do this, and it's a gimmick that wouldn't work like on an indie level probably, because production. Like, you can really zoom in on the hands and see the hurt and heal. And, like, you can really show the people at home, like oh, he's listening to his hurt hands. So it's like, shit's about to go down. Like, he's going to beat this guy's ass. So there's a lot you can do with it. So that's a sign that the gimmick is good. It's like, there's a lot you can do with it. And when a gimmick is good, is when you can integrate it into a universe, and you're interested to see how it interacts with, you know, other gimmicks right. and other people. So, I want to see this guy interact with the whole roster. Like, I want to see him come across R-Truth. I want to see him come face to face with Seth Rollins. I want to see him come face to face with Brock Lesnar. I don't want the match. I just want to see an interaction between Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar.
So
how would that work?
So let me ask, like, I don't know what the heel is, like, because he hasn't fully listened to the heel part of his hand. And I'm wondering if he shows up and then he puts his hand, like, when was it he did that? I think it was against Mick Foley, where he had put his hands together. Or no, it was Kurt Angle. He had put his hands together when he appeared in the ring and then dropped the heel. So I'm wondering if he dropped the heel and had the hurt. I wonder if he does the inverse and comes in the ring, does the inverse, says heel, and then he just disappears instead of attacking. Like, I'm curious of what that heel aspect is going to do. Like, what kind of interaction are we going to have from there?
Yeah, we still haven't seen that, so it can be just that he can just like listen to it and go, well, I'm not doing anything. It just leaves, or he can like actually help the guy, but at the same time, like he can do that, like he listens to heel and like, yeah, he picks him up, and then right after he listens to hurt, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna drop this dude right here, bam, like it's instant. Like you can really play with it and do a lot with it. Like, in the same segment, it could change two or three times. And, like, you're on the edge of your seat, like, what's happening? And you can see these shifts. Like, and it just needs to be really well, like, the producer needs to really be on the spot with this. And cameramen need to be well positioned, like, to catch these subtle things, which are subtle. You don't need to beat people over the head with it. You just need to show it in the right way.
Right.
There doesn't need to be like a light change or something. Just like, just film it right. The people will get it. And when people start to understand that dynamic, they'll be interested to see him with other people, see him interact with people, and see him in matches. Bray Wyatt, the Firefly Funhouse host, in a match, it's still something I want to see, and I don't know how that would work.
Yeah. So, and we actually, Mike's coming a little hot here, so let me bring it down a little there. So Goose and I had speculated a while back, like before Bray even, like I think it was just like back in March or April, like right when they started doing the Funhouse thing, that, and they introduced The Fiend, like we... At first, our thing was like, we want to see Bray as the mouthpiece and The Fiend as a as the enforcer, the one who actually does the physicality in the match. But this weekend, after we had saw Bray Wyatt, you know, there Goose was saying, wouldn't it be cool? And it kind of sounds like where you're alluding to as well. Wouldn't it be cool if Bray does get into a match and then maybe he loses, like just gets like completely demolished and loses just to show how frail and weak he is. And then the Fiend comes back and just like decimates that person, the person the following week. I know. I think that's an interesting concept, but there's just so much you can do with him, right?
To me, the Fiend needs to be like the nuclear option.
Yeah.
Like, not the last resort, but like when Bray is like, I'm done playing, that's when he pulls it out. Just like,
Finn
Balor does with the Demon. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree, with the exception of, I want to see the Fiend on more pay-per-view matches than how the Demon comes out only once out of one of the four pay-per-views, one of the big four pay-per-views. That's what I would rather see. Cause I get why they don't do the Demon at every single one. And it's mainly because it costs so much money to put him in makeup and all that other stuff. But Bray, this is a focal point of Bray's character, his involvement in his character. So I think that you need to see more of the Fiend, on pay-per-view matches, not every single one of them, right? Maybe skip one of them, you know, every other one or something like that. Or alternate him and Bray or something like that. But yeah, man, I agree. You got to protect the Fiend at this point. You got to protect the Fiend. You know, and going into Monday Night Raw, it was a little bit of a disappointment that we didn't see him, but it was also smart booking that we didn't see him on Raw or SmackDown. As well, I think that you need to protect him and not oversaturate people's need to want, like, not to appease people's want to see him every single, like, you want to have people yearning for more, and I think that that's what they're doing with having him off TV.
Because you didn't see him, but they mentioned him.
Yep.
Like, so you keep that fresh in people's minds. So they'll be like, oh, he wasn't on this week. They were talking about him, and we haven't stopped talking about him since it happened. So next week, I'm pretty sure there'll be a Firefly Funhouse, and it'll be shown on Raw, and then it will be shown again on SmackDown.
Yep.
And I hope there's gonna be a puppet Finn Balor, and it's gonna be he's gonna be like, oh, I love thought that. I could mess with the Fiend.
I love that idea. I love it.
I mean, it's just because to me. And what we've seen is the Firefly Funhouse is like Bray's mind.
Yeah.
So in his mind, it makes complete sense that Finn Balor would show up and be like, yeah, I just want to apologize to you because I thought I could mess with the Fiend and I couldn't and I got screwed up. So, yeah. And then like some wacky stuff happens and like the rabbit like stabs him or something, like, because
the rabbit's weak bro
like that's the sort of thing that can happen in that environment.
So
again, that aspect of the gimmick as well is just so fresh and so it's limitless.
There's
a lot you can do with that. So, and we've just seen a glimpse with Finn Balor, which is like an ideal opponent, because you know everyone now wants to see the Fiend versus the Demon. And of course they weren't going to give us that on SummerSlam. That's a Rumble match or a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. So everyone wants to see that. But this guy needs to have another feud because Finn is off on vacation now.
Yep.
So who's it going to be?
You know, that's a good question. And, you know, the great answer is we don't know and we shouldn't know. Like, we should be continuing to guess by him attacking just random people out of nowhere. I will tell you this. I don't want him anywhere near Finn Balor or Aleister Black until we get to Royal Rumble, period. Once we're in the hunt for WrestleMania, if you decide to tangle with one of those two guys, It needs to be then, but until then, like, we just need to kind of stay away from there. Big takeaway from Monday Night Raw, the return of Sasha Banks. You know, before I get into it, what'd you think?
I think the thing about like she took off the wig. She had the red hair, the pink hair, and like underneath was blue,
which was a swerve for Smarks. Just want to point that out there. That was a very big swerve to Smarks, because and I'll tell you why.
All right.
So we've been seeing these posts, and she's been making it relevant, and all her stands have been showing this where she's had, where she took out all the color in her hair, and then on Saturday, she posted some photos of her with blonde hair. So, you know, when she took off the wig, no one ever saw her with blue hair. Shout out to Sailor Mercury, but no one saw her with blue hair. Like, we just didn't see that coming at all. So I just wanted to point that out there. A lot of people didn't see that swerve coming, though. But go ahead, Ben. Oh, my bad. I digress.
I saw that some people were like, she was posting lyrics from a song, mm-hmm. and people were saying, like, for months, and people were saying, oh, she's almost at the end of the song. So it was like, yeah, so she's reaching that last line of the lyrics. So yeah. It's going to be then that she comes back.
Awesome. I like that.
I'm guessing it was her idea, because in her head, it made a lot of sense. And she thought, I'm going to get a big pop when I do this. Didn't happen. And I was like, all right, your hair's blue now. Awesome. Cause like that's not what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, you attack Natalia. You're back. That's where my head is at. It's not like, oh, your hair's different. Good for you, yeah. Girl. I'm like, no, come on.
I feel you, man. I was just saying, like, for the casuals, that was like the blue hair was something else. But just I think that it was a little bit to the Smarks, because they thought that, you know, oh, she's gonna reveal her blonde hair. And instead it was blue. Just a little subtlety, man. Nothing big of importance. But
WWE doesn't need another blonde girl.
I agree. No disrespect. But, yeah, I totally agree. I like the different. And I like the blue. I think it suits her. I am so glad the boss is back, though. It has just brought a resurgence to not just the women's division. Just wrestling in general is again, it goes to the saying, like, we're finally getting what we want. We've been clamoring for this since she's been on the main roster, since they took the detour when she was semi the boss and Team Bad. And, you know, and now she's like full fledged, the boss attacking Becky, which seems to be where she, you know, the next that should have been our clue that that's where she was. That anyways. But yeah, like, we're the consensus that by Survivor Series, she's going to be strapped with the belt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great match.
It is.
I can't wait to see it.
It's definitely going to be amazing. I am interested to see what her Royal Rumble and Survivor Series looks like. Because I can think of a couple of dream matches just off of the top of my head that I would want to see, one involving Trish Stratus, maybe at the Royal Rumble, and then maybe we get a title for title if Bayley holds the title by WrestleMania. You know, we get a Sasha Bayley, like a true Sasha Bayley feud.
I mean, Survivor Series will probably be champions versus champions. Right.
That's true. That might be like the starting of the starting of their feud kind of thing, is having a competitive match because they're friends, and then Sasha just does something crazy, and then that leads to them having a WrestleMania feud. Because I think that that's where Sasha will blow off is during WrestleMania. But
the thing that I'm
future just, booking here.
Yeah, I just thought of something. It was like, I don't see how the women's tag titles fit into Survivor Series, but I think that's the thing they say every time they meet in the creative team room, is like, I don't see where the tag titles fit in this show, for every show. It's like, they can't booked that thing. I don't know why they came up with it.
Yeah, I don't understand that either, man. It's been, ever since its debut, it's just been very hard to get behind. Like, I think it's an important belt. Much like the 24/7 has just ultimately become a staple. I think that that could, that same level of enthusiasm could be for the women's tag team belts. But I think that they're just having a hard time finding compatible tag teams that can also have a good flow with their opponents, if that makes sense. There's just not a lot of chemistry on the two-on-two space in the women's area. So I don't know.
I mean, back when the belts were created, there were a lot of tag teams.
Now, there were a lot of triple.
Also, yeah.
Factions, women's factions, not tag teams, but triple factions.
You're going way back. Like the faction, like.
Well, that's kind of where it started, right? I mean, that's.
Oh yeah, it started. But yeah. When the first champions were crowned.
When they were crowned.
There were a lot of tag teams. Like, it was the Elimination Chamber with the six tag teams.
But were they tag teams? I mean, they felt more like Frankenstein, kind of just put together teams. You had Carmella and Naomi, I think, or Lana and Naomi.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that's what I mean. Like, the chemistry between the tag teams that they put together versus the chemistry that those tag teams had with their opponents, just it's lacking. And I think that that's kind of been the detriment to those belts, is that they don't have teams that they can be competitive with between. I think that we saw what we saw on Monday with the Kabuki Warriors and Bliss and Nikki. Like, that was the first time that we actually had two tag teams that were really competitive in the ring that really gelled together. Like, if we had more teams like that, I think the tag team division would be fine, but we don't, unfortunately. We've got a lot of single stars.
We also need to get those belts over to NXT and to NXT UK. They need to show up there.
I agree. Yeah. And that's that's another thing. And I'm glad you brought that up. Like, they actually have tag teams there, women tag teams there that are, that mesh well, right? And then they have great in-ring chemistry, right? Like Rhea Ripley and Reyna Gonzalez, awesome tag team. I didn't even think that would even look good on paper, let alone in the ring, and it's fantastic. I agree. That's what those belts were meant to be. They were supposed to be on any platform or any brand. And the only thing that we had was them in the crowd at NXT, and that was it. So,
yeah,
I agree, man. That you make a good point there. I appreciate that, man. Anything else on Raw that you want to talk about before we flip over to SmackDown?
The ending was weird. Like, Strowman coming to save Rollins. That was, like, is that a tease for a future Rollins versus Strowman match?
I think this is probably because Ricochet was in there too. So I think they're going to set it up for maybe a four-way dance for the next for Clash of Champions. I know it's usually traditionally supposed to be champion versus champion. But I think that they're going to end up having a four-way dance somewhere around that belt. I think that AJ is going to end up dropping the U.S. title and somehow either vacate it. I think it'd be smart for him to vacate it instead of losing it. But I don't know. I mean, they need to build up their mid-carders for that U.S. belt, and I think that's why they saddled him with that belt again. It's crazy that they don't let other people just, like, really run with that belt, aside from the usual suspects. It just seems like they want to make that the main belt when it's not the main belt.
They need to, like, the it wasn't the U.S. title at the time. It was the Intercontinental Championship. Back when Brock was Universal Champion, the IC belt was on Raw, and it was the main champion.
Yeah, it was on Roman Reigns for a good portion of the time, and yeah, it was like the main belt. Now that you don't have that problem, there's no reason to make it what it's meant for. You know,
you can drop that belt like to a lower tier of wrestlers, And that's completely okay. That's a mid-card belt. Yeah. That's where it needs to be. And AJ Styles is freaking main eventer. So, like, yeah, Ricochet would hold that, would do great as a U.S. champion once again. Like, he could bring back the open challenges. Like, to me, the U.S. championship should be the open challenge belt. It should be, like, its gimmick, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, there's a lot of people that are, like, more preoccupied with the 24/7 championship that could, like, switch their focus. Because, like, Robert Roode, EC3, let's get those guys off the comedy belt and get them into, you know, some proper wrestling belt. EC3 would be, like, I just remembered. Yeah, he's on Raw.
Yeah.
He's barely used.
Let's
use this guy for the U.S. title.
Yeah, he's on main event. I think he's freaking hilarious, man. His intro where he just comes out and doesn't really care. He's just like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I like that. I know that they won't dare ever put that on the main roster or the main TV, but I think that's hilarious. But I agree, man. Like, EC3, he should be a contender for that belt. Eric Young should be a contender for that belt. I don't know why they put Fandango down at NXT. He doesn't belong there at all. I mean, I tell everyone, like, this dude is, like, so, like, he's so freaking talented, man. One of his best matches was on SmackDown against CM Punk. And Jesus, that was one of the best matches I have ever seen. And it doesn't get any credit whatsoever, which is crazy.
Well, you can see he hasn't lost a step because I was just watching this week's NXT. Like, they had Breezango had a tag match against the Forgotten Sons. Great match. And he looked amazing in it.
Yeah. And I mean, I haven't seen that match yet, but again, it's just a testament of how good he is. I don't believe he belongs there. I think the only reason why he's down there is because of Breeze, but we'll see.
Let me tell you what's not good, his name. That needs to change.
Fandango?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that they'll repackage him down there and drop the Fandango thing. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely typecasted in that role. And if he's going to be taken seriously, you know, he's got to change. So, so transitioning to SmackDown. I'm drawing some blanks here.
The only thing I remember was Buddy Murphy's Groundhog's Day situation. Exactly the same thing that happened last week, except it was Rowan and Brian.
Yeah.
And Brian during that segment was...
Money.
Amazing. Money. Oh, my God.
But
that was the company's top baby face, like a few years ago. And look at him now.
Look, man. I'm just going to say this, man.
Sure.
Daniel Bryan is just, like, he's one of the greatest. I hate to call him a talent because I know he's a wrestler, but he is one of the greatest talents in our generation, period. You ask that guy to do whatever, and he does it. It doesn't matter if it's a face, a manager, or a heel role. He does it to, like, it just blows my mind on how great he is. But go ahead, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was going to say, like, at a certain point during that segment, he's all over Buddy Murphy. And I'm like, he almost looks like kind of stoned or something. But I know he's not stoned. He's like, he's so neurotic. Like, you can really see his facial expressions are fantastic.
Yeah.
You're like, it's hard not to believe, like, he's really feeling what he's saying.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow. I was like, I couldn't stop watching. I was like, what the hell? I was like, kind of sad when it ended. It was like, and they started brawling and stuff. And I'm like, oh, like, dude, I want to hear more of these promos.
Yeah.
I want to see Brian just staring at the camera like that and delivering like that sort of monotone and then like driving into some point he's trying to make. I'm like, holy crap. That's what I want. I kind of want this guy back in the WWE Championship title scene.
I think eventually he'll get there. I think that once Brock becomes champion, which I think that's inevitable, I think that Daniel Bryan will make the play for the belt. But yeah, I agree. Like right now, we don't. I'm enjoying the storytelling of Daniel Bryan more so than him in the ring and fighting for a championship. I love his ability. Like that's for me. My whole thing is I love storytelling. If you can take a great story or a great storyteller and transition that into the ring, that's a bonus. In my opinion, that's a bonus. But I love this storyline. At first, I didn't know what to think about it when he was coming out to make his announcement and then just walked back and didn't say anything to this whole deniability that I didn't do anything. I didn't run him over. Don't put your name in my mouth. Like this whole thing is money. And I'm not a big fan of Roman Reigns, the character itself, but I will say that I'm absolutely loving him in his position right now. I shouldn't be surprised because you shackle him with Daniel Bryan and it's always going to be money. But I like this, man. And I liked his match against Buddy Murphy and I liked his ability to showcase Buddy Murphy, which has always been my gripe about Roman Reigns. He is the guy that the company wants to get behind. I am all good with that as long as they don't continuously just put him at the number one spot in terms of the belt. But I want to see more than just the five moves of doom. I want to see his ability to make his opponent look good without making him look bad. And
the match did just that.
It did that. It was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it was perfect.
That's how you get someone over and still beat him. That's like you make him show everything he has and like you – sure, there's a 1-2-3 and he lost. But like people saw everything that – well, they haven't seen because he hasn't been on that much.
Right.
That was like his second match since he got drafted from 205 Live to SmackDown. His match got interrupted on the kickoff on SummerSlam. But
which like, I thought that was a good spot too.
True.
Yeah.
He showed what he could do.
Yeah.
And like that to guys like Buddy Murphy, that's what they need to do because that's how they get people interested. I'm not saying he's like a bad promo or anything, but like he shines in that ring. So if you put him in the ring and you make people care, how do you make people care? Put a big name with him.
Yep.
Like, yeah, you can beat him, but people will be like, holy crap, Buddy Murphy was really good. Yeah, he lost, but he held his own against Roman Reigns. So
yeah. Kudos to him, man. And if he can continue to do that, I will welcome him with open arms on SmackDown because SmackDown is my baby. It's always been my baby. I was reluctant to have Roman Reigns on my roster, but if I continue to see this from him, like, yo, you good, man. You'll never get a boo out of me ever again. I just say that, man. So, but all in all, I thought it was a great show, man. I think that this week, this has been a treat to watch from wrestling, like in terms of just the E itself. I think it was just a tremendous week of wrestling for them. And I think that, yes, this is a part of the whole competition thing and getting better out of the gate. But I also think that they're also starting to care about their product and what people are starting to say about their product. Like, I think that it's starting to get to them that we want them to be successful, but we don't want them to keep treating us like idiots either. So if you got to grow with us is essentially what it is. Your core fan base, believe it or not, is probably between 18 and I would say like 45, because those are really the golden years of wrestling that age group has really kind of come up with. So, but that was pretty much it from the E. Was there anything else from the E that you wanted to talk about?
I just wanted to say that like the way SmackDown ended was like, yeah, we're going to tell you who did it next week. And I was like,
that's old school, bro.
No, because that's one of those things. Like, I could tell you right now, but I'm gonna wait one full week.
Yeah.
To tell you.
I mean,
I was like,
I know it sounds crazy, like idiotic to do that, but like I think of it kind of like your, Like, you have to have a cliffhanger. Like, that's one thing. That's one thing that you that the WWE has forgotten is why should we tune in next week? You know what I mean? Why? I get the whole brand split is not really a thing, but if it's not a thing, this is more of a reason why you need to hook us in and tell us what we need to be prepared for next week. Like, I watched The Flash because I liked the cliffhanger at the end, and then I'm and wanting and speculating what's going to happen next week. Like, I want that feeling as a fan of a product, because it technically, I mean, it is a show. So if, you know, if we're going to be entertained, you got to, you know, you got to keep me hooked. Shout out to Young Samurai. You
kind of make fun of it, but like, yeah, cliffhangers, that's how you keep people interested, of course. But they need to do that, and they need to start the show with the freaking match more often.
Yeah.
Because it's every time it's promo. Like, start the show with the match. This is still a wrestling show.
Yeah, for sure.
You call it sports entertainment, but sometimes you just need to kick things off with a good match.
You do.
That will get people excited and keep them interested.
And I think SmackDown's always been a good, like, more times than not, they've always kind of started with a match. They're less promo heavy during their shows. They've kind of gotten complacent a little bit, and I think that's because they took the writers from SmackDown and put them on Raw. Which, you know, I was P-do when I found that piece of it out. But I think that they're getting back to their roots, back to the talking smack days when they used to just do their own thing and just they were just completely separate from Raw. So
I kind of miss talking smack, to be honest.
I don't kind of miss it. I miss it.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
Some great moments.
It was the best, man. I always tell this to people that it gave the talent to get over on their own without having to worry about a script. We got The Miz reborn. We got Daniel Bryan reborn. We got Renee Young. Like, arguably, I don't think that she would have been where she is now without talking smack. They had a gold mine with her on there. Yeah, man. And Baron Corbin found a way to talk on Talking Smack. And, you know, now he's in, like,
he never shut up.
Yeah, and then he never shut up. That's for sure, man. So, but yeah, man, like that, it was, you know, great week of wrestling, man. I'm going to probably just start to close out the show because we're getting about 1:30 here. And I know that you had like a time commitment, but I just wanted to thank you so much for, you know, coming on our show and just being you, man. I always say this is a community podcast, and I try my best to get people on just to talk wrestling, you know, and nothing scripted. Like, we didn't have a script or anything like that. We were just two dudes just talking wrestling because we're passionate about it. And I definitely appreciate you coming on and sharing your experiences and talking some wrestling with me. And I wanted to make sure I gave you some time to plug your show. I know you did a little bit at the top, but I promise you I'm going to give you some time here. So go ahead and plug. Where can we find you?
Well, so once again, it's my YouTube channel is called SmartDown. My main show, which is the reason that my videos are called SmartDown, but then it was the title of the videos, but then it became the title of the channel. But there's a lot more content on the channel besides SmartDown. So we have our Monday streams before Raw called Battle Royal, which is like just like what we just did. It's like a couple of guys talking about wrestling, talking with the chat and like commenting on what happened during the week. We do pre-show streams, like before the pre-show. So we call them pre-shows where we talk about everything that happened. So this weekend we had a stream for TakeOver, a stream for SummerSlam, and then on Monday we're doing the Monday stream. If you speak Portuguese, because it's all in Portuguese, and you want to know what's happening in Portugal in terms of the pro wrestling scene, we have the guy that covers it better than anyone else. We used to have a podcast by a Portuguese pro wrestler who's living in the UK. He's done some things with Progress, but that's kind of on a hiatus, but it'll come back soon enough. And yeah, so it's in Portuguese, but one of these days I want to do an English stream, and you're going to be the first guy I'm going to invite.
Right? I appreciate that.
So I really want to do that. And once again, thank you so much for inviting me, because I came across your stream and I was like, this is just what I'm doing, but in a different language. So I relate to what I'm seeing. So like, I wanted to jump in and like talk to you guys, because that's the thing I love the most about watching wrestling, is talking about wrestling with my friends and like with fans. So this was really fun. It's a hell of a way to spend like it's 5:35 in the morning over here in Portugal.
My bad,
so
bro.
I have to be up.
Sorry, not sorry.
Man, I enjoyed it. I don't care. But it was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me. And whenever you need me, just let me know.
Yeah, you got it, brother. You got it, man. And then I know you got a Twitter. You want to drop that Twitter?
Yeah, social media links. I'm terrible at plugs.
No worry, I got you, bro. That's why I'm the host.
Twitter is at SmarkDown. Facebook is at SmarkDown Official, but only one F. That's the spelling in Portuguese, not two Fs like in English. And on Twitch, SmarkDown Official as well, just one F. Or you can go to SmarkDown.net, and all the links are there. I have my little landing page. Yeah. All the links are there.
Perfect. And I'll make sure that those are in the show notes too. So if you're listening to this from the audio podcast, guys, just look at the show notes. I'll have all the links on there as well. So thank you so much, man. I definitely appreciate you coming on. You need to get some sleep, brother. Get some sleep, brother, because I know you got to get up in a little bit here and get that red eye. So just closing out the show here, guys. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We definitely appreciate you. Support your boys at patreon.com/IRWP. If you want to get connected with us, hit us up Twitter at Real WrestleCast on Twitter. You got the gram? We got the gram too. Hit us up at the gram. It's Real Wrestling Podcast, all spelled out. And if you want to find out, if you're listening to us on any other platform that is not YouTube, please be sure that you go onto YouTube, search for It's Real Wrestling Podcast, and hit that subscribe button with that bell notification. We are trying to get to 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year. That is our goal. I am going to do another giveaway for you guys. So just be patient with me. I got you guys, but let's get up to 1,000. That's what our goal is going to be for the end of the year. With that being said, know there's a lot of craziness going on in the world right now. You guys know that, you know, there's a lot of divisiveness going on right now. But just remember, you got friends. A lot of your friends are wrestling fans. Instead of the hate, let's talk wrestling. Love one another, respect one another. But most of all, keep it real.